السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Thank you very much, Brother Mehdi, for your beautiful poetry, piece of poetry. May Allah bless you. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، يا رحمة الله الواسعة، ويا باب نجاة الأمة، ويا عبرة كل مؤمن ومؤمنة، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الطلاق مرتان، فإمساكٌ بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان. صدق الله العلي العظيم. Marriage as an institutional, as a social institution, is considered to be the strongest relationship that an individual can have. The bonds of marriage, the bonds of matrimony, exceeds any other bonds, any other kind of relationship. We know that there are several relationships that God condones and in fact advises to strengthen. For example, the relationship between parents and their children, and between brothers, and between relatives. They are considered to be sacred and highly advisable, either by the Almighty, by the Prophet, or by religious icons. However, when it comes to matrimony and marital relationship, it exceeds any of them because it is very invasive and ubiquitous. It engulfs the entire aspect, all aspects of a human life. The Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the covenant of marriage. It says, وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَأَخَذْنَ مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. You have very strong and sturdy covenant between you two, between husband and wife. So there is no relationship is considered to be as strong and intimate as the marital relationship. Yet, this fortress, this strong house, also sometimes becomes difficult to weather the storms. There are storms that can flip this house, destroy this house, and change the life of people, destroy the marriage institution. Now, when you look at Islam, and particularly the madhab of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, you see that they take the middle ground when it comes to the issue of divorce. There are two sides of the spectrum. There is the extremist on the right side and on the left side. Islam and the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, or the imams of Ahlul Bayt, they have chosen the middle ground, because it is realistic. You know, we have to be realistic. Talaq, divorce, is the most pugnacious things in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is halal. Yet, we have to be realistic that sometimes to save the individuals, to save the sanctity of the marriage itself, they must, you know, get divorced. On the right side are other monotheistic religions who tell you you cannot divorce. For example, Catholicism. In Catholicism, the matrimony is considered to be divinely ordered, and the true matrimony has been taken place in the heavens. So it is a divine bond, cannot be separated. That's why they tell you it's a Catholic marriage, meaning until the end of life, those two have to be together, because they consider it a divine order by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and cannot be broken so easily, unless in extreme cases, for example, there is marital infidelity. In that case, one of the spouses has to write, for example, and make a clerical injunction, a decree by the cleric to decide on their fate. He writes to the reverend writes to the bishop writes to the cardinal. Eventually, a decision from the helm of the church, the top of the church, to decide to separate between the spouses. So this approach is unrealistic. As other approaches, for example, in Catholicism, there is no, you know, marriage for the priests. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Celibacy for the priests. Again, this is against nature of a human being. Why? Because at the same time that human, mankind, needs and requires nourishment, food and a drink, also it requires, you know, physical desires. It is part of our humanity. Islam comes to regulate those, does not leave it unregulated nor inhibited. If it left unregulated, then we change to become like animals. You know, animals in the jungle, animals in the forest, they practice whatever they wish to practice, the way that they are pleased. They eat, they drink, and then they exercise their physical desires. This type of animalistic behavior. On the other side, if you inhibit it, imagine that you go strike, you know, you don't eat food, you keep fasting for so long, eventually you will collapse and die. Because this is part of our humanity. We cannot inhibit it. Islam comes to regulate these desires, whether it's food, drink, or sexual desires. They are all regulated and controlled. Therefore, to Islam, this type of activity is permissible, I mean divorce, but it has to have regulation. You cannot combat it. You cannot make it impossible, because eventually you will pay for it. Those who go for the clerical celibacy, eventually you see, you have seen in the past decades what kind of problems and what kind of scandals, you know, arose from the celibacy. You know, the assault that the priest had toward the children, toward the underage, and the litigations and billions of dollars that have spent in one statistics and one survey, I think the church ended up paying $17 billion, a figure in that amount, just to settle the litigations and the lawsuit that was against it here in the US, in Canada, in Germany, in Europe. For what reason? Because they closed the natural road that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to follow. But they became, as we say, they became more Catholic than the Pope. They said, no, you know, a priest has to be celibate. Although they have good intention, you know, we don't question their intention. But that has led to many problems. So on the extremes, on the right sides are those who tell you there is no divorce. On the other side, those who make divorce so easily, on the left side. Who are those? Those are two kinds of a group. One is the misogynist, the male-dominated society that gives the divorce in the hand of men, and for any reason or no reason he makes divorce. And the other one is the Western societies that have made it so easy for both men, for the husband and wife, to get divorced easily. I will talk about those two groups after your big and loud salawat. The first group, the misogynist, the male-dominated society and community, like the Jahiliyyah. During time of Jahiliyyah, previous to Islam, the man can divorce woman as many times as possible. And woman could not separate herself. She had to stay with him at home. He would divorce her once, twice, thrice, and keep going like this to hurt her and deprive her from her a future and a future husbands. That has been the norm and the practice during the time of Jahiliyyah. This also ended up in some time in Islam. One day, a woman came to the wife of the Prophet and complained. She said that my husband keeps divorcing me once and twice and keep doing this so many times and keep me at his home without really releasing me. He doesn't keep me, nor he releases me in order to pressure me and to hurt me and deprive me from my future. So this ayah, the ayah that I recited at the beginning, was revealed to the Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "At-talaqu marratan." There are only twice divorce with a natural rebound, meaning the husband divorces his wife and can go back to her again. Again, he can divorce her, go back to her, and khalas. These are the automatic rebound. On the third time of divorce, there is no more rebound. At-talaqu marratan. The first one, as the ayah says, imsakun bima'roof. You keep be together while with dignity, respect, and harmony. Harmony and cordial relationship. Fa'imsakun bima'roof. Ma'roof, meaning anything that is considered to be in the eyes of public something of a good norm, meaning something befitting. What is in the eye of public is when you respect each other. When the husbands respect the wife and the wife respect the husband and they have a cordial relationship. So the Almighty says, two divorces. Either you stay with your spouse while you respect her and you show harmony and coexist together, or تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. You discharge her, you release her while you do ihsan to her. What is ihsan? Ihsan is goodness. Meaning that when you divorce her, you don't divorce her with harshness. You don't take away her belonging. You don't take away her rights. For example, the ayah says, وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَكُمْ أَن تَأْخُذُوا مِمَّا آتَيْتُمُوهُنَّ شَيْئًا. You cannot take any gift, any dowry that you have given to your wife when you divorce her, you cannot take it back. So either you keep her with respect, with love, with harmony, or if you release her, you have to release her again with dignity and kindness. This is the ayah. To whom? To those who used to practice that, multiple divorce over a period of time in order to hurt their spouses. That was one group of people. The second group of people, again, all the Islamic sects, the four Islamic sects, they all agree that a man can divorce his wife all three times at once. Meaning he says, you are divorced, you are divorced, and you are divorced. These becomes the three divorces, and khalas, there is a complete separation between them. He cannot go back to her anymore. This is in a stark contrast to the ayah. The ayah says there is a twice divorce between before the third time. So what they say is an obvious, contrast to the mandate of the ayah. And they also narrate that this multiple divorce, meaning that the first divorce takes a place, they live for a while, then they can go back to each other, then he can divorce again, they come back again to each other, and third divorce, it becomes, you know, a complete separation. This is what the ayah means. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to practice this for Muslims who wanted to get divorced. And the first Khalifa also used to do that. Who changed it? It was the second Khalifa, during the second Khalifa, who said, no, if a man wants to do a sharpshooter, you know, divorce, 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 khalas, that's a sharpshooter, and three strikes and you are out, without any period between them. And this is acceptable, and all those Islamic sects have followed that. According to the followers of Ahlul Bayt and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, this is not permissible. You cannot do this. This is in regards to the, you know, to those groups. So the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam have taken the middle ground. I will explain later on how the process takes a place again after your big Allah salawat. The question, why people get divorced? There are a few factors. I will mention a couple of them and the rest is for you to figure. Number one is when the relationship becomes abusive. One spouse will become abusive against the other spouse. The husband, for example, becomes aggressive, abusive, violent, deprives the wife from her rights, attacks her, insults her, or vice versa. You know, not all men are the ones who initiate the violence and initiate the aggression. Sometimes it is from the opposite side, although it is less common, but it takes a place. And sometimes it's mutual, you know, it's like a nuclear war between both of them. The husband shoots and the wife shoots in order to, for example, to settle scores until the life becomes unbearable. Life, the marital life, will affect children, affect their status, and becomes unbearable. Now, there is a stern warning by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by our imams and the Prophet, peace be upon him, against those spouses who unjustifiably hurt their own spouses. I would recite a few of them to see where we're going. The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, أَيَّمَ امْرَأَةٌ آذَتْ زَوْجَهَا بِلِسَانِهَا لَمْ يَقْبَلِ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا صَرْفًا وَلَا عَدْلًا وَلَا حَسَنَةً مِنْ عَمَلِهَا وَكَذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ إِذَا كَانَ لَهَا ظَالِمًا. Any spouse, any woman, and men, both, if they hurt their spouse with their tongue, meaning a single word you do, in order to hurt your spouse, to hurt your husband, or to hurt your wife, God would not accept any good deed from you. No matter how good you do all the good things, you come to the masjid, you shed your tears on Imam Hussein, you give food to the poor, you do all, you know, nice charities. The hadith of the Prophet, if this hadith is authentic, I have not checked the source, but this is very common, where whichever book you open, you see this hadith. If this hadith is correct, based on the words of the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept any of our deeds. Why? Because God wants to keep the marriage in safe area. This is a sanctified relationship, a sacred relationship. Anything that hurts it, anything that destroys it, not only you will destroy the marital life, you will destroy the entire society. Because marriage, the marital institution, is a building block of any community. If you destroy that, in fact, you have made a big hole in any nation and any community. In fact, when Islam gives this harsh warning to those who instigate, you know, aggression and violence against each other, also tells the other one to put up with the trouble. Tell him, you come down. You be patient. If your spouse attacks you, denigrates you, insults you, you take the the high moral ground or moral high ground, whichever it's that, and, you know, let things subside and cool down. Do not reciprocate. Do not attack. Again, there are a few hadith that I would like to recite. That the Prophet, peace be upon him, says, مَنْ صَبَرَتْ عَلَى سُوءِ خُلْقِ زَوْجِهَا أَعْطَاهَ اللَّهُ مِثْلَ ثَوَابِ آسِيَةِ بِنْتِ مُزَاحٍ. Whichever lady put up with bad behavior with the moody husband, the Almighty will give her a reward as much as he has given the reward to the wife of Fir'aun, Asiya bint Muzahim. You see how much value he will get? Another one, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, أَيَّمَ امْرَأَةٌ خَدَمَتْ زَوْجَهَا سَبْعَةَ أَيَّامٍ. Whichever wife have served her husband for 7 days, إِلَّا أَغْلَقَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا سَبْعَةَ أَبْوَابِ النَّارِ وَفَتَحَ لَهَا ثَمَانِيَةَ أَبْوَابَ الْجَنَّةِ تدخل من أيهما شاءت. You know, the gates of Jahannam are 7s. The gate of paradise are 8. The Prophet or Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that whichever lady serves her husband for 7 days, God will close all the doors, all the gates of Jahannam for her, and open all the 8 doors of heaven for her, that so she can enter from any gate she pleases to. Again, the same thing for the man. It says in one hadith, again from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, says, مَنْ احْتَمَلَ مِنْ امْرَأَتَهُ وَلَوْ كَلِمَةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَوْ كَلِمَةً وَاحِدَةً أَعْتَقَ اللَّهُ رَقَبَتَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ وَأَوْجَبَ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. If any man bears, listens to a harsh word of his wife, his spouse, and put up with it, meaning that all of us, alhamdulillah, all the male, you know, when we put up with the harsh words of our spouses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make heaven mandatory for you. You see how simplified God makes the marital relationship so easy in order to save it. Look how important, how, you know, valuable in the eyes of God, the marital life that He wants to keep it. He says that even if she denigrates you, make yourselves as you have not heard of it, as you did not even listen to it. You know, let it go through your ears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you with the Jannah. You know, Jannah becomes wajib for you. In another one, it says, مَنْ صَبَرَ عَلَى سُوءِ خُلُقِ امْرَأَتِهِ أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مَا أَعْطَى أَيُّوبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ. You know, Ayyub the Prophet, who have been into multiple tests of Allah, big test, harsh test, the Almighty gives him the reward, that husband give him the reward of Ayyub عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ for being patient and for bearing. So these are the, you know, the words of the ma'soom, infallibles. In fact, brothers and sisters, life is not perfect. You know, sometimes we want to make our life perfect. It cannot be perfect. You see, even in the households of the prophets, they were some nagging women. Look at, for example, Nuh, Lut, Al-Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, Al-Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Those are great imams, a great ma'sumin. They were not fortunate enough to have, you know, good spouses. And the opposite is also correct. You know, Asiya bint Muzahim and others who didn't have the opportunity to have good spouses, but they have put up with them. If you want to have a perfect life, there is only one place that is perfect. Where is that? That's in Jannah. That's in the heaven. That is the place that you don't have any headache. But any other place than Jannah is always inflected with headache. When you recite Surah Al-Talaq in chapter 28, you look at it, it's all, you know, about who? About two wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who have given him so much, you know, pain and difficulty and headache, and God has warned them. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, didn't divorce him. Kept his wives. So this is a strong message, brothers and sisters, that sometimes, although you have a problem with your spouse, whether husband or wife, put up with that and be thankful that God didn't give you something even worse. You know, if you're plagued with, for example, with your boss or with an aggressor, with a tyrant, or God forbid, with a dangerous illness, chronic illness, you know, these things you can put up with for a while, try to find counseling, talking, in order to save your marital status. So the ground or the middle ground of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, ask both spouses to settle their differences and to put up with each other. So this is number one for an abusive marriage. Second type is that people do it because they enjoy it. They tell you, look, I have only one life to live, and my husband or my wife are no more fun, so let's change. You know, lifestyles change once in a while. Every 20 years, you get a new trend, so let's change it. And unfortunately, divorce have become less and less stigmatized. It's not considered to be a big social problem. People think of it as just a lifestyle. So what if you get divorced? It is not a big deal. And unfortunately, it has become contagious. Statistics show that those people who one of their immediate family members is divorced, the chances that they get divorced is 74%. You know, any person here in the West, if a family member, let's say their parents, their sisters, their brothers, get divorced, the likelihood that they get divorced is 75%. If a far related people, you know, far relative, for example, cousins, immediate friends, colleagues at work, they get divorced, the likelihood that they get divorced is 34%. So it's becoming contagious. Why? Because people say, okay, you know, my brother got divorced, nothing has happened. My parents got divorced, it's not a big deal, so let me get divorced. You know, it's again another lifestyle changing. No, to them it's really not a big deal. And a third one, which sometimes really hurts, some spouses do it for financial purposes. And here I have to be candid, brothers and sisters. Sometimes in this country, if you look at the laws of family, you see it is little skewed and biased toward women. When there is a divorce, the woman, if there is no prenuptial agreement, they will take half of the belongings, half of the property of the family. So let's say if the woman does not work, she doesn't have any income, doesn't have anything, then to her is less incentive to stay in a marriage that doesn't give her any profit sharing. Therefore, they go to divorce in order to hurt, for example, their husband, or to make money. You know, one day I was listening to one of those talk shows. A guy said that, and you know, this is real. He said that my wife divorced me for a strictly religious purposes, because she worships money and I don't have any. Therefore, she made me, you know, divorce and dump me. Unfortunately, the laws in this land has made it such a way to make it easy for women to go and file for divorce. And after divorce, you know, there is a child custody that the husband has to pay, child, you know, allowances, and then child support, and then joint custody. It's a big deal. So many families, many members do that for a financial purposes, especially if they really have weak respect and weak devotion to a common life, to a marital life. If they don't have devotion to their husband, don't have devotion to their children, that's what they do. You know, they will go and get divorced. Now let's talk about the divorce itself, the consequences of the divorce. You see, I am individually, my humble opinion, when two people want to get divorced, my advice to them is just to think before saying no, just to think of the consequences of the divorce. When they go and file for the divorce, they should ask themselves this: are we qualified to get divorced? A simple question. You see, brothers and sisters, here in this country, anything you want to do, they will ask you, are you qualified? You want to apply for a credit card, they tell you, are you qualified? You want to apply for home loan and home equity, they will tell you, are you qualified? You want to get your driver license, they tell you, are you qualified? You want to apply for your U.S. citizen, they tell you, are you qualified? Everything you want to do, you want to get a job, you want to get a, you know, university education, to get admitted in university, they always ask you this question, are you qualified for this? How come, you know, marriage is a big institution of a society, it's a social institution. How come we so easily destroy this home, you know, without asking ourselves, are we really qualified to get divorced? And to shatter this family, this building block of a community, of a nation, we destroy it so easily? Shouldn't we ask ourselves when we do this kind of things? And are we aware of the consequences that takes place? You see, in this country, brothers and sisters, everything will be on the table when you go to divorce. Anything that is meaningful and is considered life to you will be on the table. From your home, your job, your wallet, your bank account, your credit, everything is considered to be, you know, a bargain on the table. That's number one. In addition to your well-being, in addition to the health, you know, there are very strange or scary statistics. It tells you that a divorced person, he is 10 times more likely to commit suicide than a married person. And these are all real numbers. Why? Because of the psychological ramification, the consequences. This is first consequence is to the people. You see, at any divorce situation, somebody will suffer. Somebody has to pay. It could be the spouses themselves. It could be their children. It could be their extended family, or it could be their community. The community has to pay. And I will tell you why. You know, you later on, you will see indirectly the nation, the community, the taxpayers end up paying for the consequences of divorce. So any couple who want to go for divorce, they should ask themselves, is it really a divorcing, or this is a personal crisis, marital crisis? If there is a marital crisis, personal crisis, they have to see counseling, talk to the advisor, to a religious advisor, to the parents, to the elders, to solve this problem. Later on, I will talk about how Quran solves these problems. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left anything unanswered, has given answer to everything, especially to such kind of important thing, which is divorce. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. The consequences for the children, for example. It has immediate, long-term, and short-term consequences for the children. For example, psychological problems, anxieties, depression, physiological disorders. You know, some children experience, you know, bigger heartbeats and change in their hormones, change in their food, in their diet, in their appetite, which can cause them later on serious illnesses and serious troubles. This is on the short term. On the long term, they become, you know, statistics have found that they become more aggressive, violent, and intolerant when they grow up in an environment outside of their family. When you look at the statistics again, you see those juvenile criminals who commit crimes and end up in the juvenile correction facilities. When you check, you see the ones who come from divorced families, those individuals outnumber the juveniles in the prisons who come from a family, you know, non-divorced family. In five times the number of juveniles who end up in jail, who end up in court, are five times more than the juveniles from a family, intact family. You have teenage pregnancy, you have a drug addiction, you have gang membership, that all are related to either a single parent's family or a divorced family. These are numbers that have been generated by very respectable, statistical institutions. Check them and you see very staggering numbers, scary numbers about the juveniles, about the effect of the children. In fact, it says that a child that is, you know, his parents are separated, he is five times more likely to get, you know, one of those diseases that I mentioned to the child that is within his own, you know, family, from, you know, intact family. These are the causes and the consequences of divorce for a family. At any rate, Islam does not say it is haram, does not prohibit divorce. It says it is a pugnacious halal. You can do it, but it is very repulsive. But sometimes you have to do it in order to save yourself, in order to save the community, in order to save the extended family. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when it gets to worse, then get divorced. وَإِنْ يَفْتَرِقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهِ كُلًّا مِنْ سَعَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help the husband and will help the wife. Let them take their own road. This guy go this way and she goes that way. When there is no solution, when it's become, the life becomes unbearable and they fell in haram, at that time it tells you, get divorced. This is the solution. Of course, Islam tries to hinder it, slow it down. Tells you, number one, if a problem arises, go find a referee from his side and a referee from her side. Let them sit together, discuss the issue before you go to the court. Before you make it public, you don't need to make it public, conceal it. This is a marital, you know, affair. Keep it within the boundaries of family. So bring somebody from your own people, and she brings somebody from her own people. Let them talk, let them discuss it in order to save it. فَبْعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. When those two get together and they decide, their intention is that they bring back the two spouses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them. So start with this. Second, let's say the decision come for divorce. Number one, when he say that, and it's in the hand of the husband, the divorce, when he declares divorce, first of all, he should be sane. He should not be intoxicated. He should not be underage. You know, sometimes the spouses get into fight. So they become, you know, very enraged and irrational. At that time, all the rationality is closed. They cannot think. At that time, divorce is nullified. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not accept this divorce. It says, whenever the husband calms down, there is no trouble, there is nothing that enraged him in his state of calmness, then he can declare divorce. So number one is sanity. Second, there should be two just witnesses. وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ. There must be two just people, faithful people, who would witness this divorce. Third is pertaining to the wife. She cannot be in her menstrual cycle. And they, even if she's clean, she could, you know, during that time, they should not have mated. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make it this way? In order to make it difficult and, you know, less likely for the husband to divorce. Because at the time of incident, both get agitated and enraged. But if he cannot divorce her, for example, today or in the next 10 days or in the next 20 days, then you say, Allah Kareem, inshallah, after 20 days, he will forget, he will, you know, come, rationality comes back to him, rationality comes back to her, and then again, they get dissuaded from divorce. So, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to postpone it, to give them some more break, not to fall into trap of shaitan and destroy their family. So this is one type of divorce. The other type of divorce, it is called the divorce khul'i, meaning that when the wife asks for the divorce, at that time, the husband divorced her without any return, because she has declared it, she has wanted it. It is no right for the husband doesn't have the right to go back to his wife. That is called al-talaq al-khul'i, a complete separation between them. Now, if the husband doesn't agree to do that, the wife has to give him something to satisfy him in order to divorce her this way. And at that time, they are separated. Again, as I said, that Islam is always a practical. Sometimes the husband doesn't like the wife and wants to get divorced, and sometimes the other way around. You know, the wife doesn't like the husband. She wants to get divorced. They cannot be loyal all the time. There is a story. Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, who was a very ruthless guy, had a very beautiful and respectable wife. Her name was Hind. She came, descended from very decent family. She was educated and she was gorgeous. This is how history, you know, say, I have not seen her. So that's what has been said. And probably it has taken place through, you know, arranged marriage. You know, Hajjaj was an ugly, repulsive, ruthless, you know, leader. No one would dare or no one would stand him. So one day, Hajjaj overheard her saying this poetry in Arabic, and I will translate, saying, وَمَا هِنْدُ إِلَّا مُهْرَةٌ عَرَبِيَّةٌ. Hind is a mare. Mare is a female for the stallion, a female horse. She's saying that Hind is a mare. وَمَا هِنْدُ إِلَّا مُهْرَةٌ عَرَبِيَّةٌ سليلة أفراس تحللها بغل. She is a descendant of true, genuine stallions, but a mule came and became her husband. Then she says, فَإِنْ أَنْجَبَتْ فَحْلًا فَلِلَّهِ دَرُّهَا وَإِنْ أَنْجَبَتْ بَغْلًا فَجَاءَ بِهِ الْبَغْلُ. She said, if this hand, this mare, gave birth to a stallion, may Allah bless her. But if it turns to give a mule, then like father, like son, you know, a mule son like her, a mule father. Hajjaj overheard her. He told her servant, in two words, tell her that you are taliq, divorced. Go back to your home. He went to her and told her, Al-Amir tells you, Kunti Fabinti. You were a wife and you became ba'in. Ba'in meaning divorced. So you became divorced, go to your home. She said, Basharakallah bil khair. What a good news. Alhamdulillah. Wait a second. And this is 1,000 gold dinar for you for bringing me such a good news, because you made me get rid of this mule, this baghl. You know, not every wife stands up her husband. And of course, there are wives that stay loyal to their husbands. You know, we have in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ayyub. Of course, he doesn't talk about his wife and the loyalty and how she was devoted to him. But he speaks about Ayyub and what kind of test, difficult test, he has gone through. The only one who remained with him and stayed with him was his loyal wife. In the epic of Karbala also we have such kind of great ladies. One of them, her name was Dalham, the wife of Zuhair ibn al-Qayn. Zuhair ibn al-Qayn was a warrior. He knew that Imam Hussein was going to Karbala. He left the town so he doesn't meet Hussein in order not to ask him to join Karbala. Every time he stayed in a station, Imam Hussein also came and stayed in that station. One day, Imam Hussein sent one of his emissaries, told him, go and call Zuhair. Tell him to come and join us. I have a word with him. The emissary went in the camp of Zuhair and called upon him. Zuhair was having lunch with his wife. They told him, Ya Zuhair, Rasul al-Husayn al-Bab. The messenger of Hussein is at the doorstep. Zuhair kept eating. She looked at him and told him, Zuhair, the son of Rasulullah is calling upon you. The son of Fatima is calling upon you. And you are enjoying your lunch. You're eating. Don't he deserve at least an answer from you? Just go and answer him. Zuhair knew that he has a weak point. If he sees Hussein, khalas, the deal is done. He cannot say no. He went to Hussein while he was shaking and shivering. After a few minutes, he came back and told her, Dalham, pack up and go to your family. She said, what happened? He said, I am joining Hussein. I am taking my belonging and joining the camp of Hussein. I don't want you to be hurt. Go to your family. She said, no, no, Zuhair. You know, we left such a long life together. But you are so unfair to me. You are not doing fairness to me. You want to enjoy the martyrdom with Hussein. But you don't want me to sympathize with Fatima al-Zahra tomorrow. You are a man, you want to sympathize with Hussein, but you want to deprive me from my sympathy with Fatima al-Zahra and Zainab and the wives and children of Hussein. I will not leave you. I will come with you. Whatever happens to the woman of Hussein, let it happen to me. This is one wife. And another wife is al-Rabab. She's the wife of al-Hussein alayhi salam. And she had two children. One is Sukaynah, the other one is Abdullah al-Radi'ah. She was so loyal, so devoted to Imam Hussein. It is narrated when she entered upon the courtyard of Yazid. Yazid has heard that Hussein used to dear this lady, to love this lady so much. He asked about Rabab. Where is Rabab? Nobody told her. But when he started beating the face of Hussein, he noticed there is a young lady started to weep and cry. So dearly, he asked, who is she? They told him, this is Rabab. He said, Rabab, are you here? Rabab, can you tell me who is the owner of this hair, of this head? Rabab didn't answer him. Again, ask him, Rabab, can you tell me who is the owner of this head? Rabab didn't answer him. In the third time, she tells him, he asked her and told her, Rabab, billahi alayki, faqala alayki bisahibi hadha al-ra's. If this head is dear to you, tell me who's the owner of this head. At that time, Rabab said, wa Husayna, fala nasitu Husayna. وحسيناه فلا نسيت حسينا أقصدته أسنة الأعداء غادروه بكربلاء صريعا لاسق الله جانبي كربلاء. It is narrated when Rabab went back to Medina, the first thing that she did, she brought workers and asked them to remove the ceiling, the roof of her home. She would stand every day, would stay every day from morning until evening in the sunshine. One day Zainab came and told her, Rabab, you're going to kill yourself. You're standing in the sun, in this sweltering sun. She told her, Sayyidati, you are afraid that something happens to me and you want me to forget the body of my master Hussein.
that was left for 3 days in the sweltering heat of Karbala. Tonight, brothers and sisters, belong to Ali, to Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan. Sorry, I didn't have time to explain everything, but just couple words. Al-Qasim ibn al-Hasan, when he noticed that all people, all the companions and his cousins had been massacred, he came forward to his uncle and asked his uncle for permission. Hussein told him, go back to your mother. You are still young. He told him, Am, my uncle, my mom has sent me to come and battle. My mom has asked me to come and ask for your permission. Imam Hussein took his dress and made it like a shroud, a kafan. He asked him to go to the battle after they cried for a while. After a while, Qasim went in the battle. As he was fighting, Amr ibn Nufail al-Azdi hit him on his head. He collapsed on the ground and declared, Ammah, adrik me. Oh, uncle, come to my rescue. Imam Hussein came to his rescue. Now, Al-Qasim was only 12, 13 years old. You know, he wasn't tall enough. But people say that when Hussein left him, he was bending. He could not stood because of the pain that was exerted, that was inserted to Hussein. Imam Hussein brings him to the tent, to the camps, and make him lay next to Ali al-Akbar. At that time, he overhears the cry and weep of his mother, Ramla. He leaves the tent. Ramla comes in. The first thing she does, she stains her hair with the blood of her son. Al-Qasim, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Ali al-Azim. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifinaik. وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.
منو یکم ببین دل گرونیمو ببین که اومدم در خونت خدا ببین در این زمونه پر نیرنگ و ناروا حسین فقط توی توی امام راه ما حسین فقط توی توی امام راه ما حسین معلم من و تمام زندگیم پیام نهضتش شده دلیل